Let's get started, right? It's time? We'll start a minute early. We'll hazard a little bit for those who are going to come exactly on time. Okay, so yesterday we started doing the sugya of Maruz Damim, of the different colors of dam and their halacha. So just to quickly hazard over a little bit of what we did yesterday, because, and maybe just to add a prat or two in this discussion of the Maruz Damim. So the Mishnah is very clear that there are specific shades of red that are problematic. The Gemara seems to be pretty clear that that we are no longer such experts in which shades of red are problematic. It's also pretty clear that black is a problem, and that Yarok, at least the way we paskin, is not a problem, right? So just going through the, and we discussed a little bit about whether there's still a requirement to follow the Gemara's directives in terms of how to look at Maruz Damim. We're going to see that again later on in Shulchan Aruch, so we're not going to go into great detail right now about that. But just to quickly chazer over the colors, when it comes to brown, so what you hold about brown probably depends on whether you view it as part of the family of black, which light black is likely tahar, it's at least a machlokas, whether lighter black is tahar, or whether it's part of the red family, where we're always machmir on anything that has to do with red. It is amazing that it is not in Rishonim or the Shulchan Aruch, or even in the Gemara itself, you would imagine it would be about the issue of brown, because most maros, or many maros, are brown. So it's unclear why that is. There are those that suggest that they just didn't have a word for it, and they would call that which was brown, they would just call it red, which would be very problematic if that's the case. There are a lot of rayas from Kala Tarukula, from outside, where we find that Rishonim and even Chazal sometimes will describe that which we know is turning brown. They'll talk about red horses. You know, you've never seen a red horse. You've seen brown horses. Or an apple that's cut, that's left open, turning red, right? These kinds of things. But generally speaking, we assume not that way. We assume brown is brown, red is red, and that they are different colors. Pisrei Tshuva quotes the Matzasi Kasuv we discussed yesterday, that brown, which is the color of coffee, he says, is inonotelad mimus, and it's therefore a mutter. Pisrei Tshuva thinks he discovered America because it's a Matzasi Kasuv. He found it in the Sheilas Yaivitz. That not only is it a Matzasi Kasuv in the Sidre Taira, but I also found it in the Sheilas Yaivitz, not realizing what Chacham Spesal pointed out, which is that the Sidre Taira knew that it was in Sheilas Yaivitz. He didn't forget. He just chose not to quote it from Sheilas Yaivitz. And then, of course, we have the Aruch HaShulchan going over the top a little bit by saying, Chalil Lahachmir, under brown color. It's interesting, Rabbi Forrest, I didn't mention this yesterday, Rabbi Forrest, when he discusses the idea of color, of the brown color of coffee, Rabbi Forrest writes in parentheses, with milk. Oh, whoa, that's a very big difference, right? Meaning he understands that, what do you mean, plain coffee is black coffees, so that's black. So very different than what we were saying yesterday, right? We were saying yesterday, which I still think is correct, why would it be with milk? When, you know, why would that be the was it an assumption that it's like a frappuccino latte? it's coffee. Coffee is coffee. In fact, as we mentioned yesterday, Rabbi Willick said in the name of Rabbi Schwab that he thought that coffee didn't even mean the drink coffee. It meant the coffee grounds, although it doesn't sound that way from the Sidre Taira. But we assume that even that the dark, dark brown of the drink coffee, what we call black coffee, is really brown. It's just that when brown is on top of brown, on top of brown, on top of brown, it gives off a black impression. That's what Rabbi Forrest is trying to say, I think, yeah. I think that's what he's saying. Now, we pointed out, though, that Rav Moshe used to be machmir in the first 3 days of the Zayin Nikiyim when it came to brown. And we pointed out that Rav Vosner had a little bit of a more moderate approach. In Shut Shevet Alevi, Chelek Gimel, Simu Kuf Chav Aleph, he says that the Aruch HaShulchan went way overboard by saying Chalila Lahachmir, not such a Chalila. He says it could be that there is room to be made, Litzorech, but we shouldn't be in a case that's not a case of need. That's what we saw yesterday from from the Shevet HaLevi, from a Vazner. Rabbi Forst points out that after a fast day, this Rabbi Forst has like a lot of like these practical tips. You know, these are just practical things that come up. Rabbi Forst points out that after a fast day, women tend to find darker stains because they have less fluid in their bodies, and the posik should take that into account when judging if the brown stain is really blood, which is a very fascinating assertion. Not the assertion that that's the metzius. That's, you know, I guess reasonable. The assertion that the assumption that he's making when he says that is that what you're really looking for is what is this really, not what color was it when it came out. Meaning the yesh lachar, right? When if something came out a certain color, even if you know it's blood. So do you assume that because it's not the right color of blood, maybe she's going to be Tahora? So before says, no. If you know it's blood, then it's blood. So you just have to figure out whether or not it's blood. Pink, we pointed out yesterday, that Rav Azner points out that very often pink turns to beige and is therefore fine. Rabbi Eider, who was the first to write halacha in English really well, Rabbi Eider, Zichrono Livracha, quotes the same from Rav Moshe, except without the idea of turning to beige. He just says pink is mutter. Rav Moshe held pink is mutter, without really explaining. But you understand it much better when you see what Rav Azner writes, that it's not that pink is mutter, it's that it's not really pink, that it's going to turn to beige, and you see that the redness isn't really red, it's just something that seems that way. Orange, did we discuss orange yesterday? No, so orange is also tricky. In the Tshuvas Levushei Mordechai, Yerdea Aleph Kuf Yud, he's makel with orange. I heard from Rav David Willick in the name of his brother that orange is mutter. I remember I was looking at a maror with Rav David Willick, and he said, this is orange. I said, no, so what do you hold about orange? He said, it's not red. And, when you get shimush in this yeshiva in particular, even though Rabbi Neuberger does have a little more of a nuanced approach than maybe Rabbi Willig and Rabbi Shechter do, but generally, shimush here is very easy. You're looking for red, and if it's not red, it's fine. If it is red, it's a problem. End of story. Very often, if you get shimush from other poskim outside of this yeshiva, it's much more nuanced. Like we said, oh, well, if it's yellow, but it's a hafsek tara, or it's brown, but it's the first 3 days, and look at the edges, and what does the edges mean? We'll get to that in a second also. There's a lot more detail in the shimush that one would get. Over here, it's pretty straightforward. It's red or it's not red. So orange, Rabbi Willick says, is not red. Obviously, you could have a mara that's largely orange but has a red streak in it, and that would make the whole thing problematic. Meaning, the point is not what's the general color over here. The general color could be beige or yarok or whatever, but if there's just a little bit of red in it, that would be problematic. Rabbi Forst has a few practical ha'aros. Before we go weiter, a few practical ha'aros from Rabbi Forst. First of all, he says that the edge of the stain is very often more red than the center. And you'll find this very often, that the center of the stain looks like a very light brownish, and the edge has a red tinge to it around the edge. It's like a much more pronounced color around the edge of the stain. And l'chora, that should be a problem. Right, l'chora, if there's red anywhere in the stain, including the edge, that should be a problem. And generally, the poskim in our yeshiva would say, yes, that is in fact a problem. However, if you look in Aruch HaShulchan, in Kuf Pei Ches Se'if Tes Vav, the Aruch HaShulchan seems to assume that when a stain doesn't look bad, but as it dries, it develops a more reddish edge to it, you can assume that that color became more concentrated on the edges, meaning that the stain is a color. But then, as it dried, some of the color ran in that direction and away from this direction. So the color escapes to the edges, leaving the inside more pale and the edges more pronounced. And therefore, says the Aruch HaShulchan, you have to imagine, what if you were to take that intensity of color and disperse it evenly throughout the entire stain? And if that would leave you with an acceptable color, then it's fine. A great, great chiddush, right? That you have a dried out mare. It's got a reddish tinge around the edges. says the Aruch Shulchan, yeah, but if that color, that's only because it's a very concentrated color around the edges, if that were more evenly dispersed throughout the entire stain, and there are poskim that hold like this, that will look at the edges and say, it's just kitzvos, you know, it's just the edges, so it's not as big a deal. When there's like a more questionable, they usually won't do it if it's like bright red at the edge, but you know, like if it's a little bit of a tinge that you only see around the edges, there are poskim that will be make like that. You speak to people who got shimush from, I think Rav Moshe even, or maybe Debrett Zina. I spoke to someone who got shimush from Debrett Zina Rav who thought that way also. I don't know if he has it in the tshuva anywhere. Okay. Now, a second ha'ara that Rabbi Forst has is that tiny red spots are very often not blood. They're very often a thread, a small thread that just attached itself to the beged and can be ignored if you're able to ascertain that that's the case. Similarly, if you have tiny black spots, very often it's just dirt. And there is a mesorah that some have that if it can be flicked off of the beged pretty easily, if you could just scrape it off and just flick it off the beged and it leaves no mark, then it's a simon that it's not blood. So sometimes, you know, you'll bring a mara to someone and you'll see that they're doing something to it, that they're messing around with the mara. We do not recommend that you do this if you are not the posek and you're not, because then you're just, you know, tampering with evidence, right? But if you're someone who knows what he's doing a little bit and you have a little bit of experience with this, sometimes you'll see that they'll rub it together a little bit and see if it just comes off easily. And if it just cakes off easily and it doesn't leave a mark, they'll assume that sometimes that's not real blood, because blood will stick more strongly to the cloth. Okay, so that's another ha'ara that Rabbi Forst has. A third ha'ara that Rabbi Forst has that's worth mentioning, and the first two, obviously, as I said, are subject to dispute. The first two, not everyone would agree on, that those are valid ways to look at a marit, to start scraping it and seeing if it comes off, and to look at the edges as if the color on the edge is dispersed. But nevertheless, the third ha'ara I think everyone agrees to, and that is that a person has to be aware of the lighting. Yeah, there is a discussion. The Rama says you're not supposed to look at maros at night. Sometimes it doesn't take that much, you know, to look at night. It's not really that much of a shayla, and you really are able to tell. But it's very important that a person is familiar with what different lighting does to maros. I mean, if you have a room that you look at maros in, you know, you have a room in your house, I have my office where there are fluorescent lights in my office. So if a mara comes at night, you know, that's the room that I'll often be in. So you have to realize that fluorescent bulbs tend to de-emphasize red. And you should just look at those same maras that you look at in fluorescent light, look at them outside one day when it's during the daytime. So if something looks red under fluorescent bulbs, it's definitely gonna be a problem. Meaning, it's even so much so, Rabbi Forst thinks that even if it doesn't appear red when you look at it the next day, but it looked reddish under fluorescent bulbs, it probably changed, and you probably have to assume that that you have a problem and that it's a problematic color. Incandescent bulbs might cause yellow to appear more reddish. And then you have to get used to all the different new kinds of lightings. LED bulbs tend to be pretty accurate, actually, in terms of the color that you see in them. But you have to really, you have to know where you're looking at a mara and know how it affects the mara. So if you see enough of them, so you could see it under the lighting that you're used to seeing it, and then see it, you know, under natural lighting, you'll get a better sense of what your lighting does. So that's an important ha'ara that people need to be aware of. What you see is not, it's like when you take a picture with your phone. What you're looking at is not necessarily the color that it really is. Things are very much affected by the lighting. A cloudy day could also affect it. There are some poskim that won't look on a cloudy day if it's a real shayla.
If someone gets a mara at night, should they ask the person that gives it, can we wait till the morning, or should they try?
So you always need to know what the story is. Meaning, if you get a mara, I just got on second day Rosh Hashanah, a guy comes to my house in the afternoon after davening was over, so it was already later in the afternoon. And he says, my wife is going to the mikveh tonight, and she did a bedika, and it looks brownish to me. So I'm like, okay, I see it. He's like, oh, I was supposed to bring it? The guy's been married for 10 years. He had no idea that he was supposed to bring it. So by the time he got it to me, I mean, he left it in my, he dropped it off. I told him to leave it in my mailbox, and I had forgotten about it, and he dropped it in my mailbox. And he came over to me at mincha time, so I left it in your mailbox. But I couldn't run home. It was mincha time, and I had to give a shiur. So by the time I got to it, it was already dark outside. But she needed to go to the mikveh that night. So then you have no choice. You gotta, it happens to be that it wasn't such a hard one. It was a pretty pretty easy one. Had it been a more challenging one, oh, that's another thing I should point out, that a lot of times you should never feel pressure that you have to give an answer right now. And a lot of times rabbanim feel pressure that they need to give an answer right away. You know, they get they blue check someone, you know, they see that I read their message or whatever, and I'm going to look like a fool if I don't give an answer right away, like I don't know the answer. And this is true in halacha in general. In any question, you should never feel pressure that you have to give an answer right away. It's perfectly fine to say, I don't know. It's perfectly fine to say, I have to look into it. I'm still amazed that, you know, with the at how many people don't think I'm an idiot with the amount of times that I say, I should have no idea, I'm going to have to look it up. I don't know. And still, people are just appreciative that you took the time to look into it, and instead of just thinking of you as an idiot. So don't worry. People won't think of you as an idiot. And even if they did, if you have a little bit of your shemaim, that's what you got to do. You know, you got to take one for the Ribono Shalom in order to get the psak correct. So that's very important. And one of the ways that, particularly when it comes to maros, the practice amongst rabbis is very often to get a second opinion. Meaning you should have some, if you're in, you're fortunate enough to be in a community where there are other rabbanim that you respect and that know what they're doing and that know what they're looking at, so it is kedai to get a second opinion when you have a real shayla, when you have a challenging shayla. So that happens all the time. I was just with... it happens all the time. At a simcha all the time, rabbis will come over and just stuff plastic bags into my pocket and say, when you get a chance, take a look, you know, something like that. That happens all the time. And that's good. And I do the same, obviously. We'll always consult with other people. It's a very important thing to do in general. It's good to get another perspective, and you'll learn a lot that way, because someone else might have gotten shimush and might have chapped or might have certain experiences that you don't have, and you can learn a lot. It's a constant, you're constantly learning throughout your life. So that's a very important thing to do. I was once giving a shiur about... one of those shiurim about like interesting shilas that I've gotten, right? So I said, as an introduction to the shiur, I spoke about how we go about paskening a shilah. You know, how you have to know the people, know the circumstance, know the sugya, see how it applies to halacha, you know, the whole nine yards. Someone came over to me after the shiur and said, you know, you gave four examples of interesting shilas that you got. You went through the answers to all of them, but in your introduction, you skipped one step in your introduction that you mentioned in every single one of the four examples that you gave. I said, what's that? He said, in every one of the four examples of interesting shilas, you mentioned other rabbis that you asked the shila to. And that's an important step. I said, that's a good ha'ara. That is an important step, right? Meaning to be to consult with other people. There's absolutely no shame in that. Okay, so the main topic I wanted to talk about today is what if the blood changes from wet to dry, if it changes colors. So the Gemara on Daf Chaf Amud Aleph tells us, Rebbe ra'a dam b'layla v'timei. At one time someone showed Rebbe a mara, and he was metame the mara. And then v'ra'a b'yom v'tiher, and then he saw that same mara again during the daytime, and he was metaher. Himtin sha'achas v'chazav v'timei. And then he waited another little bit, and he was metame. Omar oili shema ti'isi. And he said, oivei, I might have made a mistake. So it seems to be saying that without looking at it a third time, he was metame because of the assumption that it was tame at night. Meaning, he saw it at night and he was metame. He saw it biyom and he was metaher. Then he waited and he said, what did I just do? I shouldn't have been metaher it. Last night it was tame. So maybe I made a mistake. It was tame at night. So the Gemara says, Shema tisi, vaday ta'a. Ditanya lo yomer chacham ilu hayalach Hayavadai Tame Ela Ainlo Ladayon Ela Masha Ain of Rose. That Rebbe should not have been worried that it might have been Tame at night. Right now it appeared to be Tahar. So the Gemara says, no, Meikara Achseke Betame. He saw clearly at night. He saw very clearly at night that it was Tame. And then Kivan de Chazal at Safra de Ishtani Amar Vade Tahar Hava. When he saw that it was Tahar during the day, he realized that he must have been mistaken the previous night. But then, says the Gemara, Kivan de Chaza de Hadar Ishtani, Amar Haitame Hum Vakechu de Kamafkach Vaazil. That when he saw it continually changing color, even during the daytime, he realized that he wasn't mistaken the previous night. So at first, when he saw it change the first time, he thought he must have made a mistake. The first time. But then he saw that it kept on changing. Even during the daytime, he realized, uh-oh, last night was not a mistake. I got it right when I said Tame last night. That's the Gemara. So comes along the Taz. And the Taz says a great Chiddush in the name of his father-in-law, in the name of the Bach, who quotes the Chiddush from someone else. He says, Od himsi mori chamizal chumra achas. Remember, the two maros that are absolutely 100% kosher, yarok and lavan. When you have such a maro, lefnei hamora ba'odolach, but it's still moist, lo yorabo davar. Do not paskin ad sheyis yavesh, dilo pa'amim, achar sheyis yavesh, yimtza adam b'kitzvosav. Because sometimes after it dries, you can see that it's going to be red around the edges. Wow, so that's a mouthful. So a couple of things you're seeing from that bach. First of all, not to paskin when it's moist, right? Second of all, that if it changes, right, if the color changes, then the color that we're interested in is the new color, not the color as it was when you first saw it, which is interesting. Why? Why would I be more interested in the new color than the color that it was when I first saw it? I would think closer to Yitzia min aguf. Yitzia min aguf is when it was really, but that's what he assumes. That when the color changes, you're interested in the new color. He also seems to assume that if there's red around the edges, a little bit of red around the edges, that's a problem. That you don't say, oh, you know, it's the opposite of the Aruch HaShulchan. Right? The Aruch HaShulchan says, work backwards. If it wasn't Tameh before, and then there's red around the edges, so work backwards and assume that if that red would evenly disperse throughout the whole thing, it would look just like it did before, and therefore it would be fine. Comes along the Bach and he says, no, if it's going to turn into red around the edges, then you have a problem because there's red around the edges. That's the chumrah of the Bach. So says the Taz, four rayas against the Bach. Four different rayas against the Bach. First of all, he says, Udvar of Tumumim. Dimkein maze sha'amru b'simun kuf pei vav b'isha she'in la veses, she'd tivdok atzma lifnei tashmish. The whole discussion about a woman doing bedikos before tashmish. What's she looking for? Right? She's looking to see if there's going to be any dam. Well, how in the world is she going to know? Right? How is she going to possibly know if she sees any dam? So you mean how is she going to look at it? Yeah, but if she has to wait till it dries before she looks at it, so then she's not really doing a bedika right before tashmish. And nowhere in Simun Kuf Pei Vav did it say anything about doing a bedika, waiting for it to dry, and only then having tashmish. So that's raya number one. I think over here, Torah Shalom says a raya that you're allowed to look at a moist mara, because David HaMelech says, Yadam ilchlachos bedam shvir bedam shilya kedei letar ish lebaila. That David HaMelech says that my hands are dirty with dam shvir and dam shilya in order to be matar ish lebaila. Why are his hands dirty? His hands would only get dirty if he's touching something wet. If he's touching something dry, then his hands wouldn't get dirty. Unless maybe he has the mimic of scratching off and seeing, you know, maybe messing with the mara. Okay, take it or leave it as far as that raya is concerned. But that's kasha number one that the Taz has. Kasha number two, he says, V'suka shuvi talmud aruch shabsof parakol yad. Mevi b'raisa shamar b'feirush. Lo yomar chacham ilu hayolach hayavadai tamei. Ela arminan ein lo l'dayon ela ma she'en avrolos. that the Gemara used this phrase, that you can only paskin on what you see, and that's all you have to paskin on. V'im kein, hu adin lehebuch, ein lo ela mashe nevroz kshulach, minalo lechalik misvara. Meaning, just like the Gemara says in the opposite case, that when a chacham looks at a dry marah, that he shouldn't start figuring out, oh, what did it look like when it was moist? So when you look at a moist marah, you don't have to start thinking about what will it look like when it's dry. You don't have to think about that. Now, how would you answer that, Kasha? You'd probably have to say that you'd be mechalik between the two. That when you're looking at a dry mara, so there's no better way to look at it, right? You can't retrace history. There's no solving that problem. Right? It's dry, it's not going to become moist again, it's not going to return back to its former state. So I'm going to say, okay, so you got a paskin, the shayla is presented to you. You got a paskin, whatever you have in front of you. But maybe when presented with a moist marah, you do have another option. And the other option is wait and see what happens. And maybe you do have that obligation to do so, to wait and see what happens. But that's the Taz assumes that it would go in both directions, that it would be the same in both directions. And then he says, Kasha number three, Visu de behed yarmin and shamer, Rebbe ra'a dam b'layla. The Gemara says, Rebbe saw dam b'layla, v'timei yaso, ubiyom v'tier, Himtin Shah Achas Chaz Vatime, Omar Oili Shema Ta'isi. And then the Gemara asks, Shema Ta'isi Vaday Ta'a. So Rashi says, Kasal Kadaitach, to be Yom Tieroso, Va'achakach Lo Chaz Vira'ahu. That he didn't look at it a second time during the day, or a third time, as the case may be. Elame Elov Chaz Arbo Vatime also. He just said, I gotta be Matamei it. Why? To suffer Shema Emesh Tameyu. Maybe yesterday it was Tamei, Va'achshav Shibesh. Rather, nishtana mimariso, and now that it's dried out, the color changed. V'ilu hayalach kibidchilaso hayinira tame. But had it been moist like it was originally, it would look tame. L'fichachazur b'mashatihir, and that's why he changed his mind. V'alze amar acharkach shema tiisi b'mashachazarti v'timesi. So he was saying, maybe I made a mistake by going back and being metame. Because right now it looks tahar. So the Gemara says, what do you mean maybe? That's definitely a mistake. So based on that Gemara, says the Taz, Hare lefanenu, de lefi zeh, ra'a Rebbe Adam b'layl k'shulach, v'lo hayachash l'rosa, ba'odolach, shema achshav nira lo, tahar l'machar, yira lo tamay, k'shay ziyavshu, v'zeh usfar akayim, af l'divrei ha'maskana sham. He says, what was Rabbi doing paskening on that shayla? I mean, it's a very shikamara that this is what Rabbi did, that he paskened a moist shayla. And then the next day he dried out, and that's why it changed colors. Otherwise, if it was already dry the previous night, why is it changing colors? So it was obvious it was a moist shayla. And Rabbi was paskening that shayla. And even the figure of Maskana, we're not choshesh. Emil dayin mashin of rose. Ve'ein lomar de Rebbe lo rak shulach el luchumra imir tamei yitamei osa avalol lahepach lekula, and don't say Rebbe was looking at it moist just to be more machmir than necessary, but he would never rely on that lekula ze'enam da'amrina Rebbe ra'a dam b'layla. No, it says that Rebbe was ra'a dam b'layla. It sounded like he was going to paskin on it, that he wasn't going to, meaning he was going to paskin one direction or the other. He was ra'a dam b'layla. Loros Bokadas Malasos, Hein Latar, Hein Latame. Also. So that's the Taz's third Kasha. So new, what would you say about that one? What would you say about that one?
It doesn't have to be moist, moist, and dry more. Meaning it could be like pretty much dry and still dry more when he saw it at night.
Meaning when he saw it at night, it may not have been moist. Meaning colors change over days also. I would bet you that if I take out that bag again that I had yesterday, some of those colors will not look exactly the same as they did yesterday. Over time, colors can change also, even after they're dry. I think most of the ones I had in the bag yesterday, all of them pretty much were dry. So it could change after it's dry also. There's no hechrich in the Gemara, I don't think, that Rebbe was looking at a moist mara. He says, V'su, de Rashi pirusham, de Rebbe l'tamei, damrin Rebbe badak la'araneh. He says, and I have a greater raya, that Rebbe was actually paskening over here, and he wasn't just going to be machmir in one direction or the other. I mean, he wasn't just going to be machmir regardless, that, oh, if it looks red now, good, shine, it's red. And if it doesn't look red now, then I'm going to wait and say it's red tomorrow, maybe. Right? That can't be what was happening. because it says that this is Rabbi Lishitasa, that he was Adam Belayla. That Rabbi held, you're allowed to look at Adam Belayla. Well, if all he was doing was just trying to be Machmir, then you don't need to be Lishitasa to hold, you're allowed to see Adam Belayla. He wasn't really passing on Adam to begin with. And then a fourth kasha that Taz has on the Bachva Odraya, Misimun Nun Beis La'el, to Kosva Tor Benaflu Behema La'or, Dim Nishtana Hamara Achra Shasholka and Trefa, and Mikalmako Mutala Achun Suyin. There's a way to test if something is a trefa if you cook it, if you slow cook it. So can you not slow cook it, not do that test, and just eat it roasted? And apparently, yes, you're allowed to do that. Vatam, you don't know that it's a trefa. You don't have to work with the assumption that you have a problem. If everything looks good, even though. Slow cooking this meat may reveal a trefa. You don't have to go looking for what it may reveal. So letting the marrow dry may reveal that it's red. I don't care what it may reveal. I don't have to go looking for what it might reveal. I'm not interested in what it might reveal. There are rabbanim that will not keep a marrow for this reason. Meaning, The Bach is assuming two things, right? He's assuming that if it changes, that change matters, and if it changes for the worse, it's now going to be tame, right? And he's assuming you have to be choshesh that it might change. Those are two different assumptions that he's making. That you're mechaskin and reyus, so that you assume that there's that there might be a reyus, and so you have to be choshesh, you will change. There are rabbanim that maybe are not choshesh that it will change, meaning they're not choshesh, they're not going to say, oh, I'm not going to passner on this yet because it might change to a different color, but they are concerned that if it does change and they know about it, that they then have a problem. So they'll throw it out right away. Those rabbanim don't give shimush, unless you bring them other maros. You have to bring other people's maros to them, and then they'll say what they feel about them. What they feel is not the right word. Feels like what they think about them, what they hold about them. So the Shach in Sivkot and Gimel also quotes this same Bach and says that we don't hold like the Bach. Chsuke rei salam chaskinan, and therefore you're allowed to look at a mara as presented. So if a mara looks good to you when it's moist, you're allowed to just paskin on it. You don't have to wait until it dries. What if you paskin the kula when you first saw it? And then you saw it again, and when it's dry, and now it appears red. So if you look in Pesachei Tshuva, half hour to share, it's time to get the Shulchan Aruch out of here. If you look in Pesachei Tshuva, in Sivkat and Gimel, so Pesachei Tshuva writes, yeah. Still not used to the tourist adapt to this new Shulchan Aruch. Yeah. Hiskei Tshuva writes, Ayin ber heitev mashkosav od imtzi abach, Vayin b'minchas Yaakov, Torah Shlomim, b'sidri Tarish, gam heim chol kol abach, u'gdol mizu kosav b'tshuvas Chacham Tzvi, that the Chacham Tzvi writes in the Tshuva in Simon Memvav, Ta filu im ro'a hamora k'sho yolach, v'yilo mara tohar, if a posik looks at it when it's moist and it looks good, then he puts it in his drawer, looks at it the next morning, and he says, uh-oh, what did I do? Tahora. Whatever is closer to the time it came out of the body, that's your more accurate picture of what it is. So says the Chacham Tzvi, and therefore even Lekula, you can rely on that. Ayin Shuvah Shvus Yaakov, Chelek Beisim Nayin Dalet, Shecholek Olav Bazeh, Shvus Yaakov disagrees. Sidri Tar is not convinced by Shvus Yaakov's Raya. Chavz Das, Hiskim im Chacham Tzvi Bezen, the Chavz Das takes sides with the Chacham Tzvi. Amazingly, Va'ein B'shel Z'yayvitz Chedgal of Sof Simen Yud Beis, Shekosav Dimistapi Lemevel Uvda Kedas Aviv Zal. That he's afraid to pass on like his father. Rabbi Yaakov is the Chacham Tzvi's son, he's afraid to pass on like his father, to be so makel that even if it looks red right now, that you can be makel, can't be. Wow. Means you told a woman at night you are tahora, What do you think that woman did? Right? She went with it. She went right back to her husband. Next morning, you open up your drawer and you see the mara there, and it looks tame. You have to make a difficult phone call and say, "I'm sorry, but it was tame." What about Zilus de Beidina? You know, how's she ever going to trust a rabbi ever again in her life? Zilus lo cheshina. We're not choshesh for Zilus. Or maybe Rayim le Elsim nun beis. He said Gimel kavei or Riku al yidei shalach. Tamrina nigli ve. Okay, the same raya that the Taz brought. Wow. So, if you pass the makula when you first saw it, and then you saw it again, so you have this machlokas where you have the Chacham Tzvi. That you look at how it was when it was Yotzei Min HaGuf. If you look up the Chacham Tzvi, he says more. He says, and Darchei Noam, right? And it's not possible that you can answer after you're already mati or something. Because Darchei Darchei Noam. When does the Gemara use Darchei Darchei Noam? Not to be matter of homosexuality, right? When does it use Darchei Darchei Noam? By Dalin Minim, yeah?
Yibum.
And by Yibum. What by Yibum? That if once you're matir, the tzar l'shuk, so then you can't, based on the family growing or shrinking afterwards, you can't change that. Once you give a heter, to call it back and say, oh, by the way, that heter we gave you a while ago, that was all in this daraisa, and now you're in trouble. You can't do that. You can't be that the Torah. But what does it do? Shachz explains to us when we're learning Masechta Sukkah. Jochen Darchei Noam, generally speaking, does not change the halacha. Right, you can't take a halacha that you know what the halacha is and say, well, that's unpleasant. You know, it's not working on the seventh day of the week when I'm going to lose my job because it's 1932 in the Lower East Side, and I'm not, you know, that's unpleasant. It doesn't change the halacha. Terachad Darchinom is when there are multiple possibilities of what the Torah means, so it's an indicator that the Torah meant A and not B, because that's more Darchinom than the other one. Right, so the Gemara is discussing what do we think the proper min for the Dalet Minim is? Is it the thing that has thorns and it's going to kill your hands? Or is it the thing that doesn't have thorns? It's most likely the thing that doesn't have thorns. You want to know, how do I determine Heter L'shuk? Is it an ongoing process, or is there a moment of Psak and that's what determines whether she's Mataris L'shuk? So I'm not sure. Derech HaDarchinom is an indicator that it's got to be a moment of Pesach, because if it's ongoing throughout the person's entire life, then it's going to end up that it's going to mess a person up in a very bad way. So Chacham Tzvi applies Derech HaDarchinom over here. So does that work? Does that fit with that explanation? What Chacham Tzvi is saying is, when a mara changes, right? If I'm not sure la halacha, do I have to look in the Dayan El Mashin of Rose now? Or do I look at how it was when it first came out of the body? Derecha Darchinom, look at how it was when it first came out of the body.
Two questions. One, does that include the verse that the Rav looking does not paskin initially? Meaning it did change. Originally it was Muktahar and now it's Tameh.
So that's a good point. I mean, that really drives home the difference between how to understand Derech HaDarchinom. If Derech HaDarchinom is just that, is determining what the halacha really is, and the halacha really is as it was when it came out of the body, so whether you uttered a word out of your mouth about what the halacha is, you have to paskin on what you saw yesterday, right? But if you hold Derech HaDarchinom, it's just about, you can't tell someone that she's fine and then go back and tell her that she's not fine. So if I didn't say anything, I was cautious, then I still have the ability to tell him, right? That's a good point. It sounds from the Chacham Tzvi is that if there was a color and it changed, go with the earlier color.
And
L'tov olara. You go with the earlier color. This would fly in the face of our whole Mahalich toward pink, right? Pink is okay because it always turns beige. Not always. It often turns beige. So unless you say that because it turns beige, that's how you know that it wasn't really notalad mumis. Meaning, it wouldn't turn beige if it was really notalad mumis. Pink is not red. It's something that's in the vicinity of red, and you just need to know how close it is to red. So one of the indicators are that if there's actual dam in there, Rabbi Neuberger often says that pink is very often a sign of a maka that a woman has. So on the one hand you have this Chacham Tzvi, on the other hand you have the Shvos Yaakov, who holds that you have to paskin based on how it looks right now. The Bach assumes that it must have been red when it left the body, then turned white, and now that it's dry, it's turning back to its original color, right? So amazingly, Rabbi Yaakov Emden was afraid to rely on his father, and Rav Moshe in Yerideya, Chelik Dalid, Simon Yud Zayin, same truth we were quoting yesterday, Oz Dalid, held like the Chacham Tzvi. Now, it is important to distinguish between the Taz, who says that you don't have to wait for it to dry out of a concern that it might change color, and the Chacham Tzvi, who thinks that even if it did change color, you don't have to worry. Right? Those are very different things. The Taz is saying, I disagree with the Bach, that the Bach says you always have to worry, it might change color, so don't look at it yet. That's very different than what the Chacham Tzvi is saying. Chacham Tzvi is saying, even if you know that it changed color, you don't have to worry about it. Chacham Tzvi is going much, much further than the Taz in that regard. Pischei Tshuva and Sifchat Na'alev quotes a Givas Shaul, Simon Samach Gimel. This is a different case now. So up until now, we've been discussing a case that something looked tahor, then became tameh. What if the opposite happens? Yeah? In this yeshiva, how do we paskin if something looked tahor, then looked tameh? I can't speak for this yeshiva. I'm not sure, but I on this point, I'm not 100% sure. But I would assume that once you paskin it, it goes by when you paskin it. That's it. You don't have to second guess.
Not exactly like the Chacham Tzvi then.
Right. I've brought Maros to Rabbi Willig, where I've told him what it did look like, and he wasn't interested.
Could that be because he just didn't see it?
Yeah. But, it was much more, but I never spoke to him about the topic. That was just my experience that's happened. But that's worthy of investigation. So I give you all permission to, if you see Rabbi Willig or Rabbi Neuberger or Rabbi Schechter around or Rabbi Savlovsky, please ask them. If I see them, I'll ask them what they hold. But that's, generally speaking, I think most poskim will paskin as it's brought to them, and then even poskim will keep it, will just mix it in with the rest. You know, they don't want to be able to identify it later on. You don't want to have to think about it later. That's certainly what I do. I mean, once I pass it, I'm not looking at it again. I'll put it in a bag or something with other marrows, but I'm not looking at it again.
So if you hold it, what we said about pink turning beige at that cooler, then you can't hold it this, right?
I mean, no, you can. You just have to say that it's an indication that, meaning if it turns beige, that it was never really red, that pink was not milk or red lumens, that what you saw was not red.
What about the Chacham Tzvi, that if it was red and then it turned another color, you said it's a tovo l'rah, that...
Right, but that's what I'm saying, that it wasn't really red. You saw that it had this little tinge, but that's it. It's Megala now, that it never really was. No, because you know that's the nature of a pink mara. It's one thing if it's red, but that's just the nature of a pink mara. So Pischei Tshuva discussed the opposite direction. Pischei Tshuva and Sifkat Na'alev quotes from Givas Shaul and Simon Samach Gimel that if it turns to a Mara Tahar when it dries, that you can be Mekel. So in the Sidri Tara, in Simon Kuf Tzadi, Sifkat Tzadi Gimel, he says that that's only true if you weren't sure when you saw it at night. I mean, you saw it earlier and you weren't sure, but it looked bad. This happens a lot. And then you see it the next day, and it looks okay the next day, then you could be mekel. But if it was definitely tummy when you saw it at night, the change during the day is not going to help, says the Sidri Tara. So even though Pischei Tshuva says you could be mekel when it changes latov, says the Sidri Tara, that's only if you weren't 100% certain originally. Rabbi Forst, in page 163 of volume 1, says that if a woman says that it was red, even though right now it doesn't seem red, it's awesome. That she has a certain level of namanas, which we're going to learn about soon. But, he says, if she only saw it at night or she was unsure about its redness, it could be makel based on what you see in front of you. Shevet Alevi says, you know, like it's not that usual for it to change from a clear maritame to a clear maritah. It's much more likely that it changed from something borderline to something tar than, say, you know, so if a woman, Shevet Alevi says practically, and this is very, very reasonable, that practically, if a person comes and they say, oh, last night you should have seen this, I thought, forget about it, that. She's not so experienced in seeing maros. She probably never had this problem before in her life. And even if she did, she's only seen one woman's maros. She hasn't seen, enough. And she has a certain level of anxiety that's inherent in the situation because there's no gaya to her. So you don't have to assume that everything she says is Torah's Moshe Nisinei. And you also have to know the personality of the person. You know, sometimes you have a person who will convince themselves, you know, that there are problems. You know, who goes shopping for chumras. You know, you hear a lot about the problem of people shopping for kulas. There are people that shop for chumras that will not be satisfied until you're machmir for them. So, you know, so she'll say whatever it will take to be machmir because such an emas, yiras achet or whatever. So Rav Elazar is not so convinced that you have to take what she said. You have to listen and, you know, take it into account, but not necessarily that shavi anav shechatikul diyisura, that she said it's red and therefore it's red and therefore there's nothing to be makled. We're not going to go that far. That's what Rav Elazar writes. In Igros Moshe, in that same tshuva, in Os Hei, in the very next line, he discusses Marish Shara Harav Hamora La'ora Chashmal Belaila, that there was a Rav that paskin by electric light at night. Vayinirlo Nota LeMaradam, and it appeared to be red. Umachmas Asafi Kishir LeMachalayin La'orayom, but he wasn't 100% sure, so he left it over for the next day to look again. V'ra'o La'orayom Kimaratar, and then the next day he sees and it looks fine. Again, Ma'isim B'chol Yom, that this happens, that you look at night, it doesn't look great. You leave it over for the next day, and it looks fine. You say, "Oh, what was my shy leaving about?" Pashut says Rav Moshe shetzarech latira. It's pashut that you're matir in that case. Lo rakish lo pasagadayin mishum shaya gam ba'atzmo mesufak shemein aridul arachashmal yibatov. And then Rav Moshe says, "It's not even a good enough shayla for me. If you're the case you're describing, he didn't even paskin the night before. He wasn't even sure the night before. Of course, you could be makel the next day. But I'll go one step further." That the posek had in his mind, I have to paskin tamei on this. It's just texting wasn't invented yet, and he didn't get through to the woman, and he hadn't actually paskined it yet. But he knew, I'm going to have to paskin tamei on this. Aval nishra etzlo amarish nishra leha. But he held on to the marah. V'ra'a biyom shu maratar. Yeshol lachzer meira'aso l'taher. He has to change his mind and he has to be mitayin. Ve'ein lochush l'nishtane shalom matzui. He says, you don't have to worry that maybe it changed. It doesn't change that much. Ta'af l'rebi lo yachash mitchilu l'shem nishtane v'chazu bo k'shor otar b'yom mimach sha'achki b'yos b'laylu l'tame. Shemash mi Rashi, sounds from Rashi, then in the case of Rebi, shepasuk mitchilu b'laylu dino l'tuma, ta'kos v'al me'ikara achzike b'tume. Klomer Emesh Lomi Safik Time. Rebbe wasn't Matami Safik the previous day. El Shapir Chazya Va'achzik Betuma. And still, when it changed the next day, he was Matahir. And what's the only reason he thought that it was a mistake? Because he saw that it continued to change. But had he not seen it continue to change, then it was correct to change his psak the next morning. That's Rav Moshe's Raya. So Rav Moshe, you know, that would turn out to be a tremendous kula. That's something that you see at night that you're certain is problematic, and then you look at it the next day. In general, there's a great reticence to paskin l'chumra on this because, you know, again, the lashon by David HaMelech is l'taher isha l'baila, that the goal is always to try to find a way that that the couple should be able to be together, to be matar isha l'baila. So if a person is unable to be matar isha l'baila, then very often you're going to say, you know what, I'm not going to be machmir on my own, I'm going to show it to someone else tomorrow. This happened to me many times. Or I'll get a shayla at night, or I'll get a shayla one day, I'll look at it, doesn't look great to me, I don't want to be machmir though, I'm going to show it to someone else also, and say, I'm not going to be machmir until someone else agrees with me that to be machmir. And almost always, someone else does agree with me. but the next day I'll look at it to show it to someone else. And by the time I look at it, it's fine. Right? Says Rav Moshe, it's fine. Right? Rav Moshe holds that's fine. Eilun died on Lashon of Rosh right now. It probably didn't change that much. When you saw it, the light was playing tricks on you. So that's how Rav Moshe thinks that we could be making like that.
Rav Moshe, both paskins like the Chacham Tzvi that go based on the original Ri'ya, and now he's saying
Lakula in both directions. Lakula in both directions. Yeah.
And you can just apply to any type of lighting. If you say LED is pretty accurate.
Yeah, it's still not natural light. Yeah.
This is even if the first Ri'ya was on one day and then second.
So Rav Moshe is on at night. I don't know if it would be if you saw it during the daytime. I don't know. One last point over here, and then we'll do a little Tzvar Torah. One last point. The Pischei Tshuva in Sivkat and Beis quotes a Chasam Sofer in Siman Kufnan Tes, who discusses an Eishes Chaver, who asked the rabbi, got a kula from the rabbi, but the husband wants to be machmir. So the woman asked the Shaila, she was told to her, the husband says, yeah, but you know, I'm a Chashuv Kailul guy, I'm not gonna rely on some kula. So there is a concept of a behema shahara b'chacha, right? That if you have a tray for shayla, that a chacham passed on the kula, but it required a hora as chacham, that a bal nefesh is machmir, right? So would you say the same thing over here? That it, since it required a hora, it wasn't the davar pashut, it required a hora, even though the chacham was mekil, that it's kedai for the husband to be machmir. Or maybe not. Maybe the husband can't be machmir. Why not? Lav kol kivine to be mafkia shibud amishto. He has a chiyuv of sherek sos va'ona. He has a mitzvah sona, and he's gonna not do the mitzvah sona, and aggravate his wife, upset his wife. Why? Because I'm so frum. Because I have to. Right. So the Chasam Sofer, surprisingly, says that he has every right to be machmir. And he says, not only that, even if this is a chumrah, he never would have kept earlier in his life. You know, a lot of times you have this couple gets married, she married a cool guy. You know, like, he would go to the movies with her, he went to the beach on Sunday afternoon, you know, and all of a sudden, like, he found Rav Moshe Weimger or something, and like, he, you know, all of a sudden, like he's got a Bekesh on with his wedding band, and he's got, like, I don't know, he says, like, a whole different, you know, he's doing different things, and he has new hanagos, and she's like, what the heck happened here, you know? So, generally speaking, you got to be very careful in those situations. You know, I had a case, a woman called me up, a guy called me up. A guy called me up and he told me that his wife, his wife is very upset that he won't go to the beach with her. She, that's what a family does on a Sunday. You go to the beach, and she's very upset. I said, well, when she married you, did you go to the beach? He said, yeah. He said, but like, you know, I'm growing, I'm learning new things, and I'm becoming, you know, more religious. So it's a very, very tricky balance. So I said, you can't just say no, you got to give her an alternative. Meaning, you can't say yes either, but you have to give an alternative. Come up with a new family, a good way for the family to spend the day. Spend the day together. You got to be creative. But it's very, very, very difficult to just change things on a wife because you decided to get from. Not so pashut. But Chasam Sofer says, yes, it is pashut. Chasam Sofer says, whatever you want. You want to take on new chumras, matov manayim, and she's happy about it, Chasam Sofer says, right? What does Chasam Sofer say? He says, v'avte b'shas nisuin lo haya adayin misnayig b'prishus. This guy was never acting b'prishus before. Mikal makom amrinan ragilu zesha asilios parish v'chasid. It's normal. People grow in life. People develop in life. V'ziknei talmidei chacham kol zman shemaskinin v'chulei. Ultimately, your wife is going to be happy about any achievement that you have in Avodas Hashem. Even if she says, I don't like Avodas Hashem, I'm not happy about this. She's disappointed right now. She'll get over it. Wow. Anyone look up that Pischei Tshuva that he quotes at the end of it? That's the 79th book today. I don't know what he says over there. I don't know if I would advise someone to follow that. I'm so for Rabbi Paskin's Lekula, and all of a sudden you're taking on new chumras. That's one of the Rabbi Rosner has a shir about when it's not appropriate to take chumras. Right? When the chumra is a good chumra, when the chumra is a bad chumra. And they're like, rule number one, if the chumra affects somebody else, he likes to say, a chumra in ben adam l'makom is very often a kula in ben adam l'chaveiro. That's true. That's, I think, a very true statement. And there's no greater bit on that, right? Where does the Gemara talk about after the Recha Kamocha? But also by the beginning of the second paragraph of Masechus Kiddushin, by your own wife, you have the after the Recha Kamocha. Okay, we'll stop there and we'll just do a little Dvar Torah. Okay.